All right. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. And we're doing another one of the pieces of literature that I've written in the year of 2001. The Lord gave it to me. This piece of literature has to do with, it's a question that the Lord is asking. He's asking every one of you out in Radio Land, do I offend you? Are you ashamed of me? That's the name of this literature. Do I, my word, offend you? Does my word offend you? Are you ashamed of me to live my word out? Is your life hidden in me? In other words, are you dead, the old you dead, and are you resurrected in a new life here? And are you, is your life hidden in the Lord so that no one can see the old you? So no one can see you manifesting yourself all over the place. I have run into many people that claim to be Christians that have been lesbians since they've claimed to be Christians. They've had sexual relationships with women and men and boys. And there's a lot of them that... I believe that the Word of God offends them. There's a lot of them that also lie and tell, bring false accusations against people in the church. And the Lord states that these people are not dead in Christ. They are not hidden in Christ at all, because Christ does not manifest Himself in them. And all they do is go about manifesting themselves, even in a more wicked way than they were before they were, quote, saved, unquote. Now, the Bible says that if a person was saved once, and then they decide to come out of Christ and start allowing their life to be manifested in the world rather than the Lord, rather than having their life hidden in Christ, as a Christian must be in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But they are manifesting, they fell away, and now seven devils are in them, worse than even the first one that was cast out of them. And they start getting a wry smile on their face when you mention scriptures. It's just really, they have such a sardonic smile on their faces, and they just think that serving the Lord or doing the things that the Lord says to do is like funny or something. And there's another bunch of people that I've seen in churches that think it's terrible. I mean, they rebuke people for praising and thanking the Lord. We have, actually, I caught some of them, young baby Christians are reporting, there was some of them that were reporting three or four different older Christians, quote Christians, unquote, in my own church, that were rebuking them severely for going around praising and thanking the Lord. Well, this was never a problem for years in our church, and this is one of the things that causes me to know that those people that are rebuking people for praising and thanking the Lord, because the praises of the saints, the Lord lives in the praises of the saints, and I always notice that the ones that don't praise and thank the Lord for their salvation and for the blessing of knowing Christ, for actually being associated with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. There are people that are in my church and every church in the world that are not praising and thanking the Lord for being associated with Him, for Him allowing you to be associated with Him. And so, the Lord caused me to write this piece of literature. Do I offend you? The Lord is saying, do I? Is there something about me that offends you, especially the people of the world that are saying you can't say Merry Christmas anymore? And I hear that two electricians came into my house this evening. They were fixing some components on one of the machines here. And they were saying that Walmart now says that they are not allowed to say Merry Christmas to anybody. And if they do, they'll be fired. So it looks like the Walmart's chain of stores is extremely antichrist, that the Lord's name even offends them, and that his word offends them, and it seems as though they're ashamed of him because they're going along with the world. And we know that the whole judicial system hates the Lord, that they're offended with him. And the entire government, the Antichrist government, and the media is offended with the Lord, and they are ashamed of him. But these two people that came to the house this evening said, if I walk in Walmart and I ask them, if some of them say Happy Holidays, we're going to come back and say Merry Christmas, because this is Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. All right? And I said, I'm with you, brothers. And I says, as a matter of fact, people should boycott that place. They just got a little bit too big for their britches. But right now, before we do this message, do I offend you? And are you ashamed of me? Jesus is saying, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this message. Father, we are not ashamed of you. And we know that it's wonderful and it's absolutely a commandment to praise you and thank you. And people that don't praise you here will certainly not be in the kingdom of heaven, because all throughout eternity people will praise you for being in the happiest place in the universe, the most beautiful and wonderful place in the universe. So every day to a true born-again Christian is Christmas, not holiday. It's not a holiday. It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of our Savior. And it's who came into the world and gave us the actual truth about the Almighty Living God, who is Himself. Now, Christ is the Word of God. You're the Word of God, Jesus, and you are also God. And you're the image, express image and likeness of the Father. And the Father and you are one, and we with the Holy Spirit, and you and the Father, we are one with you. So it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and your body, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, which is us, those of us that really are not ashamed of you, and those of us that are not offended in you. Lord, I ask that you open up everybody's heart, their spiritual heart, their spiritual soul, their spiritual mind, and their spiritual eyes, that they can see and hear and understand the words of this message this evening. Lord, that souls will be saved by the billions, and that the church will be lifted up to higher ground, to where they'll not any longer be ashamed of you. The true church never would be, but Lord, those that were in the body and are thinking about leaving, that they'll think twice, three and four times, and then they'll get back into you. Because you said in your word, Father, that in the last days a lot of people would be losing their zeal for you. And he says for you to that we are to repent of this sin and be zealous, otherwise you, Father God, Lord Jesus, would spit us out of your mouth. So I pray, Lord, that people receive this and begin believing the scriptures, receiving it, and doing what you tell them. Because we've been called into this world to be the kingdom of heaven, representatives, ambassadors for heaven, from heaven for you, and we are to let them know what the rules and regulations of this country that we come from are. We sit with you in high places, and we know that, Lord, that you're coming back soon, and woe be unto all of the people of this earth that don't accept you here, because if they don't, you're not going to accept them into heaven. Father, we ask that you do open their eyes and their minds and their spirits to receive all these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now, are you ready to read? What have you got there?
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Beloved brother in Christ, greetings to you once again in the glorious name of Jesus. We thank God for all his protection and provisions toward his children. First of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to read this mail. Also, I would like to thank you all, the saints at the Tony Lamo Ministries, for the numerous good works you are all doing, mainly by sending your soul-winning gospel literature, Bibles, and Messiah booklets. We have received 10 Holy Bibles and Messiah booklets. A few days after distribution of the literature and Bibles, I fell sick due to nervous weakness, and because of this reason, I could not inform you about the safe arrival of mail. God has healed my sickness in a marvelous way. I thank the Lord for his healing touch. Though I was in bed, I ceased not praying for you. I read your literature many times during the period of my sickness, and it helped me a lot. Words aren't adequate to let you know how much your literature has done for my spiritual prosperity. I am very thankful and appreciate the labors for winning precious souls through your literature. We have distributed all your literature using every opportunity. Please find the enclosed photos while at distribution in the attached file. I am restored to normal health and carrying out the gospel. The gospel work is moving fine, and we see a great harvest before us. Our Lord has chosen us that we could go and bring forth fruit, John chapter 15, verse 16. We need to serve him all our days. I truly believe God is trying to catch our attention by tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, etc. It is high time to spread the gospel. God is coming soon. In last of September, several low-lying localities, Tunuku and surrounding villages, were affected with floods due to heavy rains and overflowed canals. People evacuated to safer places, leaving their belongings. The floods disrupted normal life and totally damaged farm fields and thatched houses. In floods, many people lost their holy Bibles and hymn books. They cannot afford to buy Bibles as they are very poor. They are attending church without Bibles. Hence, I am requesting you please kindly send us 50 holy Bibles, including 10 reference Bibles, and Telugu literature. We are praying for you as well, that your ministry of hard labors may flourish abundantly for his glory. Please pray for my health. Thank you, dear brother, your brother in Christ, Paul, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Right, well, I'm going to make sure that those Bibles get out, but a lot of people were offended at the word of the Lord, and they were ashamed of him, and so maybe the Lord took their Bibles away because they weren't reading them anyway. Hopefully that isn't the reason, but we know that the reason for these floods and tsunamis and earthquakes is because of the fact that the entire world is deceived and they are sinning. One thing I would like to say at this moment, though, is that there are people that call in all the time and they're wanting to know if we have a church in their area. They write me, they send in emails and faxes. Do you have a church in our area? Well, I would like very much for you to find a place for us to have a church there. And we have like a gospel boot camp, so to speak, over here. It's really rough. It's rigorous. I know when I went through the Navy boot camp in USNTC San Diego and then over to Camp Elliott when I was just a youngster, that it was really rough back then. I hear that it's a piece of cake nowadays. But we really went through a rough boot camp. And one of the things that is very important for people to realize is that the Word of God is very strict. It's wonderful once you just submit yourself 100% to His Word and surrender completely to the Word of the Lord, which is the Lord. so that it doesn't offend you, because as you read the Word of God, there's going to be many things that are going to come up with in front of you that you're maybe not going to agree with, in which case that means that you're going to be offended at it, and you're going to be ashamed to tell other people about what the Bible says. For instance, you know, there, people are not saying that homosexuality is wrong. And they're saying that other things in the Old Testament and the New Testament that the Lord has never condemned, they're saying that that's wrong when it's really right. And they're saying that it's wrong for young people to get married. And it isn't, you know, because they're committing fornication. And then they're going into these abortion parlors and they're committing first-degree murder. And the Word of God says, I know this is going to offend a lot of you, and that you're going to be ashamed to tell your friends about it, but the Bible says that if you commit first-degree murder and fornication, that you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And so, therefore, we have to tell you these things. And the Lord put it on my heart to write, do I offend you? Are you ashamed of me, the Word of God? I'd like Sharon to come here for a little bit and read some of those scriptures about how that if we're resurrected with Christ, then our life is hidden with Him, okay? And that's, where is that in the Bible? Chapter 3 of?
Colossians.
Colossians. Okay, we'll start out with verse 1, and then I'll just read, I'll explain it as we go along, okay? Go ahead.
If ye then be risen with Christ.
I mean, if you're resurrected with Christ, if you, the Holy Spirit has lifted you up from your carnal life to where you now are a spiritual being and you're no longer carnal, then what?
Seek those things which are above.
Seek, read the Word of God, which is the way that you seek the things that are heavenly rather than the things of this earth. Then what?
Where?
And if you're not reading the Bible, then you're not doing that, and so therefore it's for sure that you are carnal. Then what?
Where
does
Christ?
That offend you? Are you ashamed of that? Well, it's just too bad, because if you're ashamed of the Lord, He says He'll be ashamed of you before His Father and His holy angels. And if His Word offends you, well, then it's for sure He's offended with you. Okay? And that it's not good to be offended with the living, holy, eternal Creator of heaven and earth, and even you. I used to call people you little mud patty with a temporary spirit in you that needs to be fused to the eternal Spirit of God so that you can have eternal life. Okay, but then go on.
Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Which means that Christ is the power of God. Because without Christ, there's no salvation. And so Christ is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, if you want to make peace with God, the only way you can do it, the only power there is to do that is through Christ. So He's the power of God, and He's the wisdom of God. Because no matter how wise you think you are, there's no other way to get into the kingdom of heaven but through Christ. So Christ, therefore, Christ is the wisdom and power of God. Now, if you think that you're wise, then you must believe without a doubt that Christ is the only wisdom of God. It's the only wise thing to believe that you can get into heaven is Christ, because there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved to get into heaven but through the name of Christ. So Christ is the wisdom and the power in enabling you or anyone else to get into heaven. Without Christ, if Christ wasn't there, God hasn't got any power to get you into heaven. Because unless Christ came into this world and shed His blood so that all your sins could be taken away, and unless Christ comes into your body with the Father by the Spirit, you cannot be saved. Okay, therefore, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. Does that offend you people, you Muslims? Are you ashamed of that? Well, then you're going to spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. Okay, and keep going.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Yeah, set your affection on the Word of God, because there isn't anything on this earth that's going to save your soul. You may like to just, you know, get involved in all the mess down here and everything, but that isn't going to do you any good. It's not going to help you at all. So you're just spinning your wheels, wasting your time. Then what?
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah, if you come to Christ, you have to die out to your old life. And your new life that you're going to live is hidden in Christ so that no one can see your old life. That's it, hidden in Christ. And now your new life is Christ. You don't have a life anymore. You are dead. Christ took care of that. He drowned your life in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And no matter what these ministers tell you, these false ministers, that God wants you to enjoy everyday life. And they make it plain that you can enjoy your life. And why would they say that when the Bible says you must be dead? Doesn't? You just read that, right? You're dead? Go ahead, read that again.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
So your life, the new life that you're living, is hid with Christ. And Christ is in God. God, all three is one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three are one. Okay, you can keep going.
When Christ, who is our life...
If you're saved, if you're resurrected with Christ, then He is your life. Because if you fell away from Christ, that means you're back in the world and you don't have eternal life. Okay, so you must surrender your entire life over to Christ in order to have life. And if you have done that, then Christ is your life. Christ is in you by the Spirit, and He continues being in you by the Word, which is both Spirit and life. And remember, Christ is the life. He's the way, the truth, the only truth in the whole universe, and the life. Without Christ, God has no power to save. Now you figure that one out. Why did God have to send His only begotten Son into this world to die if He had the power to save you without Christ? Amen?
Amen.
God is absolutely, hopelessly powerless without Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because Christ is the life. He's the power of God, the life of God, and He's also the wisdom and knowledge and the understanding of God. And without Christ, you are lost. So anyone worshiping Mary is lost. They're on their way to hell. Because Mary is not the life, the way, the truth, and the strength, the power, and the wisdom of God. She is nothing but a dead Jewish girl now. She has got saved before she died, and so she had to accept her son she carnally brought into the world, but it was begotten by the Holy Spirit. She physically brought that boy into the world, and my mother can't save me any more than Mary could save her son. And God cannot save anyone unless it's through the Son. The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest the Father be angry. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's no power in God to save your soul without Christ. And God plainly states that in His Word, that His Son is the actual theme of the entire Old and New Testament. Okay, go ahead.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory.
Why? Because you're part of the body of Christ. If you're really in Christ, then you're part of His body, a member of His body, a member of His corporate body. Then what?
Mortify therefore your members.
Yeah, so make sure you walk in the Spirit, which mortifies your flesh, your members. I mean, in other words, it deadens your flesh, your members, to where you're not lusting after different groups of people whoever the devil tells you that is the best people. Some people think that the Negroes are the best. Some people think the Jews are the best. Some people think that the Irish are the best. Some people think Puerto Ricans are the best. But you're not to be thinking about flesh. You're to mortify the flesh so that your spirit will not be going after the flesh. Because anyone that goes after the flesh, this is evil concupiscence, nasty, sinful lusts of the flesh. Right? And then people say, well, I did that in the past. Well, if you, after you've been saved, you did that in the past, I'd be worried if I were you. I'd be worried about facing God. Because you might face him tonight. And if you think that you can relax and just think, well, that was the past, and I don't really have to worry about it because I repented about that. People that say those kind of things, it doesn't sound like you repented. You know, I don't believe that you repented because what you're saying is not scriptural. David, is, people still talk about David having committed adultery once, and he never did it after that, but it's still a stigma, a bad testimony of him. And so how many times do you think that you can lust and for God not to know it? He knows what you're going to say just before you say it. And that's why a lot of times when I start speaking and I'm going to say something that the Lord doesn't want me to say, he'll check me immediately. Don't say that. And so I'll stop and I'll wait for whatever it is that he wants me to say, and then I'll say it. So God knows everything. He even knows what you're going to say. He knows what you're going to think. And it's for sure he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. He knows what you are. And there's no way you can hide it. All right? You underestimate the Lord God greatly. Then go ahead.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication.
Yeah, that's for mortify that deaden fornication, because if you fornicate, you're lost. No fornicator shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And those still commit fornication in their hearts and in their minds. They're thinking constantly of fornicating with some woman or some man, or even committing homosexual or lesbian acts with men. These are things that keep going down in the book of records in the kingdom of heaven, and your name is blotted out of the book of life, and you're sent strong delusions to make you believe a lie. Does that offend you? Are you offended with me, the Lord says, my word? Or is that something that you're ashamed of me for? When there's a crowd of people and they're trying to make out with you, would that make you feel ashamed to not go along with it because you happen to be in the crowd and you don't want to be kicked out of the, quote, in crowd, so to speak, unquote? I'm in with the in crowd. Well, I'm glad I'm not in with the in crowd. I'm the minority here on earth. I don't want to be in with what they call the in crowd. The in crowd nauseates me. I just see how foolish they are. It's like a bunch of foolish people that are just... It reminds me of people that you see... Even when I was a child, my mother used to read about these people that would not do what they were supposed to do, and then they would wind up not being able to eat. There's just so many parables of that in some of the children literature. And it's all throughout the Bible. How foolish they are. They were all committing fornication and adultery, and God wanted to kill them all. And he did, in fact, kill them all over a 40-year period and sent their souls to hell. And he did drown the whole world, you know. But because they were so evil, he only saved 8 souls. And it's going to be very few people that enter the kingdom of heaven straight as away. Narrow is the gate, and few there be that shall enter thereof the kingdom of heaven. But wide is the gate to destruction, and many there be that shall enter thereof. Destructionist, can you imagine just being destroyed and destroyed and destroyed eternally every second, every moment? Of course, there's no time there. There's no seconds there. There's nothing. But it just keeps going like an ionic pentameter, like just a constant dropping on a every second of eternity. And there's no seconds there, so it just goes on and on and on forever because you wanted to have fun. Okay, then what?
Uncleanness.
Oh, God, it's like filthy thoughts and filthy things that you do. Scum. I mean, to God, you look like a scumbag. And he's certainly not going to let any scumbags into heaven. Would you even allow a scumbag to come into your house? Well, then do you expect God to let scumbags come into heaven? And I wouldn't serve a Lord that was going to let a bunch of scum go up there. I'm so nauseated with them here on this earth, I certainly wouldn't want to be in a heaven where there's going to be scumbags. Or, you know, people vomiting all over the place. What kind of a heaven would that be? Everything is perfect in heaven. There can't be any evil thing into the kingdom of God. So what it means is you have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Even though you're born again of the Spirit, you have to stay in the Spirit on a daily basis, knowing that your flesh is weak and that your flesh can be tempted into doing things that would cause your soul to go to hell. It's like a constant demanding thing where Satan's trying to send seducing spirits your way to seduce you back into the world, to back into your own way of thinking instead of the Lord's way of thinking. And so you must mortify the deeds of the flesh by staying. And how do you do that? You just stay into the Word of God. Surrender your entire life over to Him. I know that you're going to think it's very hard because you have been living a life of destruction for so long that you just figure you can't do that, but you can't unless you get into the Word of God and stay there. There is absolutely no other way. You will not be able to make it unless you follow these instructions. You must surrender your whole life unto the Lord. You must stay into the Word of God daily. Otherwise, there's no way you can possibly make it. Okay? Then what?
Inordinate affection.
Inordinate affections. Wasn't that all hateful? Where you just hate everybody and you hate Christians especially. Boy, that's one thing that you're really going to get in trouble because you're offending some of the Lord's people, and it's better that a millstone would be hanged around your neck. Some people say all kinds of evil things in the church in hopes that they can put down the pastor and put down some of the children of the Lord so that it can cause them. It's like a person in the church causing mutiny on a ship and trying to get everybody to backslide and pull them down to their guttural level. These people must be reported immediately, and they must be put out of the church immediately, because their job for Satan is to tear everything down and tell people, well, the pastor's going to die one of these days, and we need to get into rap music. Well, no, we don't. They say that the time is times are a-changing. But Jesus says that, and God says, and the Holy Spirit says, we never change. We're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord has told me on many occasions that He does not want rap music in this church. And so the people that are keep trying to get that in here are against God. That means they're antichrist, and they're offensive to me. And the Lord is offensive to them, and I am offensive to them because I keep the commandments and keep the church holy. They say, well, after the pastor dies, we'll get rap music in here. No, you won't, because I'll probably outlive you. The Lord has promised me 20 more years of life if I work out, and 20 more years on top of that if I eat correctly. And the Lord knows how to take care of those that are ashamed of Him. And He doesn't want that. He wants holy music. Not rum bum 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 rum bum 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 yeah, and all this kind of jungle stuff. The Bible tells us about that. Okay? Those are the ones that drowned. And the jungle stuff started with Ham. Ham, who fornicated, had a homosexual act with his father. And the first black person came forth, and that was Cain. And that's why the whole area up there was at one time called Canaanland, Africa. And Africans have to remember that they are, they have to repent. Now the Jews, they sinned too. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And so God cursed them with blind eyes, and you can see the things that they had to go through because of the gospel, because they rejected Christ, some of them. But remember, the first Jews were Christians, and Christ himself, of course, was the number one Christian and the number one Jew. And so everybody has to become a Jew before they can get saved, because the Jew is number one in God's eyes. And the black, the Bible says, is the tail. Okay? And so anyone that's just going after them is, if they know the gospel, are sick in their heads. And the black people must kneel down before that Jew. I'm certainly glad that I don't have to kneel down before some big black god who's going to make me do the Watusi or make me do some rap music, because I don't like rap music. There is no spirit of God in it whatsoever. And these people that are portraying that rap music, it's gospel rap, don't believe it. It's not of the Lord, okay? And it's for sure that I'm not prejudiced. I'm just telling you like it is. My whole orchestra in Los Angeles is black people. And they're song leaders, and we have a lot of black people in our church. And some of my favorite people are blacks, but it's for sure rap music is not of the Lord. And God has told me not to put it in my church. Now, I see other churches doing it, but that makes me to know that they're not really of the Lord. All right? They're not of the Lord. Remember that. I told you that. And you'll find out in eternity. If you don't know the Lord well enough here in this world, it's for sure you're going to find out what I'm telling you is the truth in eternity. Okay? And it's for sure I'm not prejudiced, because my best friends and I were running around together for 50 years in the music business. I hung out primarily with black people, and back then we did do rap music. That's over 50 years ago. And back then I didn't know that it was as evil as the Lord has told me that it is. But it's very evil. Okay, and then what?
Evil concupiscence.
Evil concupiscence is like evil sexual desires, like your mind is lusting after this person or that person, like they do on television. They show people's rear ends while they're walking down the street, where they go through to the bathroom through, like that's supposed to be sexy. Oh my. Well, that's if your life is hidden with God. I see smiles even in this room by a lewd person. You're supposed to have your life hidden in Christ. If your life is hidden in Christ, you wouldn't be smiling about something like that. Okay, then what?
And covetousness. which is idolatry.
Right, because covetousness, if you know what that is, you know what it is? That's when you want something that somebody else has got. Amen?
Amen.
Instead of trusting the Lord for to give it to you, you got to lust after somebody's when it's not yours. Amen?
Amen?
And you don't trust the Lord enough to give it to you, and you don't pray for it. If you prayed to the Lord for it, and you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, which means that kind of faith is little, but it grows. Seeds grow. Amen?
Amen.
So if you got just a seed of faith in you, it'll grow up if you keep watering it with the Word of God, and you'll be able to have whatsoever you ask for. So you should. So if you are covetous, if you're coveting somebody else's wife, you're not going to get their wife, or you're not going to get their husband, not legitimately anyway. You might get him, but you're going to wind up in hell if you do. Okay? But pray to the Lord for things that you want, and He'll give you yours. All right. Now, I believe firmly that there, in this world, there's a man for every woman. Or if it's a multiple marriage, there's a man, and God will give him his wife. Okay. Because that's the way the Lord is. Okay. Then what?
For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
Right. Those that are offended with the Lord's word. Do I offend you, the Lord says? Are you ashamed of me, you rotten person? You want your shame to tell people about me? You're going to be so sad that you were ashamed of me at the judgment bar of God. Then what?
In the which ye also walked some time.
At one time you were ashamed of the Lord, and you were offended at the word, because He says you can't have any sex with everyone that you want to. If anyone told me before that I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that, I'd tell them, get out of my way, before I was a Christian, because I was a renegade. I was crazy. I wanted to have everything that I wanted, that my skin, my flesh lusted after. And I got whatever I wanted. But after I got saved, then I realized that I had to put these things behind me. I had to hide my life in Christ. Okay? Then what?
In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them.
See, when you lived in the lust of your flesh, then what?
But now ye also put off all these.
Now you put them all off and put on Christ. Okay, then what?
Anger, wrath, malice.
Now you can be ye angry, but sin not. You can be angry at satanic people or at Satan. And then what else to say? Anger?
Wrath.
Wrath. You can shoo people out of the church. But you don't really need to. If you're the leader of the church, you can just tell them, go, get out. And then then what?
Malice.
Malice. Okay, then what?
Blasphemy.
Oh, yeah, blasphemous people have to go. I wouldn't stand for a blasphemous person in the church. Then what?
Filthy communication out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Filthy is saying bad things about the Bible. That's filthy. There couldn't be anything more filthy than that, could there?
No.
Then what else?
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Grace means power in your heart. And then what else?
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord.
All right, you're not to be communicating with other men. You know, the Bible says that wives are supposed to learn from their own husbands. And you can go to the pastor, but not assistant pastors or youth pastors or something like that. If there's something, a trouble between you and your husband, go to the pastor so that there is no big problem going to occur and so that there's no concupiscence in the church. Okay, then what else?
Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things.
Now, there's a lot of people that are bitter against their wives, and they have a good reason. Nowadays, you hear of women that are unsaved, and people that claim to be saved, too, that are committing adultery on their husbands. And their husbands, instead of just putting them out of the house, just try to beat the devil out of them. And, of course, the police will come and jump all over the husband. In the Old Testament, you used to stone those kind of people to death. That's illegal, but, of course, you can't do that. My suggestion is to put them out of your home and don't ever let them come back again if they commit adultery on you. And it's for sure if you do keep them in there because you don't want them to become prostitutes, you still have to feed, clothe, and house them. But you just don't have any sexual relationships with them whatsoever. Teach them a lesson. Okay, then what else? As David did to one of his wives. Okay, then what?
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children.
That means obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, that means you have parents that say, come on, smoke pot, come on, let's go out and commit adultery. You're not to obey them. Okay, or let's go and have a, come on, drink some booze or whatever. Don't obey them. That means in the Lord. Okay, then what?
Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
Now, if any of this offends you, or if any of it is you're ashamed of God to keep these commandments, well then, you're ashamed of the Lord. He's going to be ashamed of you at the judgment fire of God. And if any of these things offend you, then you're offended at the wrong thing. Okay, I can be offended at you for being offended at the Lord. That the Bible says, be ye angry at those that are angry with the word of God. But sin not. Don't be a person that's angry with the word of God. The Lord tells you to rebuke and to reprove people that are angry with the word of God. Because they are not of the Lord, they're carnal. And they want sympathy from people of the Lord, and they will not receive any sympathy from me. But then what?
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men.
Yeah, with zeal. And he'll spit you out of his mouth. Then what?
Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
Right. It doesn't matter. You may think that you're lovely and gorgeous or handsome, and that, you know, all people just kiss up to you. during your lifetime and that you think that God is going to kiss up to you too. No, he's a good God because he came and died for the sins of the world, for those that will receive his whole word. But he's also a very stern God, and he's strict, and there's no respecter of persons. If he tells you something, that's it, and you're going to find out. Okay? Because, you know, if I was like the Lord, I would think of people as little monkeys. And if you want to, and those that sin to him are like chaff. Calling you a little monkey would be a compliment in comparison to what he calls. He calls you snakes, vipers, pigs, dogs. You're like a dog going back to your vomit and a pig going back to the wallowing in the mire. And he says he's going to burn it like your chaff. And so he's going to burn you to a crisp and send your soul to the be everlasting torment. And if you think what you're doing is worth it, well, go right on. You'll find out that I'm telling you the truth, but it'll be too late for you. Okay, now, come on, we'll start with this. We only have a few minutes left, but I thought that it was very important to read that chapter, because the Lord laid that on my heart to do early this morning. Okay, then what?
Do I offend you? Are you ashamed of me? The Lord said, quote, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, offended with his teachings on how to enter heaven, unquote. Luke chapter 7, verse 23. Quote, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, unquote. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. In all four Gospels, Jesus commands his disciples to deny their old life of sinful self and sinful human thinking, deliver it to the final death of the cross, then take up their cross, which is the same as denying themselves, to follow him. This means no more self-pity over denying ourselves if we want to spend eternity in heaven. Does this offend you? The new life means a life of obedience to God. The Lord speaks of the evil of self-life in a variety of ways because self-life expresses itself in a variety of ways. Anyone who wants to be a disciple of Jesus must be very careful to pay strict attention to everything he has said. He calls everyone to give up their sinful, former natural life to the cross. Quote, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his self-life shall lose it. And he that loseth his self-life, self-will, self-emotion, for my sake, shall find it, eternal life, unquote. Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 through 39. Jesus warns us to deny ourselves. This means we are to turn everything of our self-life over to the cross and begin living the life of the cross, which is the same as the new life, the spiritual life, the overcoming life. He says that everyone who obeys this command will see that a man's spiritual enemies or, quote, foes shall be they of his own household, unquote. Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. Does this offend you? I pray that it doesn't offend you, because this is the truth. So in order to do the will of God, we see that godly sons will be torn away from their carnal, ungodly fathers. Godly daughters will be torn away from their carnal, ungodly mothers, and godly daughters-in-law will be torn away from their carnal, ungodly mothers-in-law. Self-denial is the cross that crucifies our self-life so that we have the power to separate ourselves from anyone and everything, including relatives or friends, who oppose Christ, who oppose God's work of redeeming souls, who oppose heaven in favor of hell, who oppose our right to choose God over Satan, heaven, or hell, and good and godly people over those who are evil and demonic, and who would oppose the new life that we receive from God, which happens to be the most important thing that has ever happened to us or ever will happen to us. Does this offend you? Again, I pray that it doesn't, because it too is the truth. Most everyone in the natural life wants to please those who are close to them by doing what they ask or giving them what they want, even if they know they are very evil. However, Jesus warns us not to rebelliously deny God in favor of those close to us, especially if they oppose God and those of us who are of God. Are you ashamed to preach this truth? I pray that you are not, because if you are, Jesus is ashamed of you. When the will of God and the will of man conflict, we are commanded for the sake of both God and man, which includes our ungodly loved ones, to take up the cross by turning our self-love and desire to the cross. Even if there is an ungodly person whom we love very much that we would have wanted to please in our natural self-life, like a mother, father, son, daughter, wife, or husband, someone whose feelings we would never want to hurt. The Lord demands this type of obedience so that we might be purified from our natural affections or love to a supernatural love and affection for Christ, for our ungodly loved ones, and for ungodly lost souls. This is why he warns us that anyone who, quote, loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, unquote. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Quote, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his own cross, which is self-denial, and come after me, cannot be my disciple, unquote. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. Does this offend you? Are you ashamed to teach this truth? This is radically different thinking than the thinking of lost, spiritually blind people who say, quote, our family, right or wrong, unquote. Quote, our country, right or wrong, unquote. If our family or the leaders of our country are wrong, God wants us, for the sake of their souls, to rebuke and reprove them of the things they are doing wrong, so that they might have an opportunity to repent, to serve God, and to finally spend eternity in heaven. Quote, how shall they hear without a preacher? Unquote. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Quote, we ought to obey God rather than men. Unquote. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Quote, let God be true, but every man a liar. Unquote. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Quote, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, unquote. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Jesus said, quote, who is my mother, and who are my brethren, unquote. Matthew chapter 12, verse 48. He answers his question by saying, quote, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother, unquote. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50.
And praise the Lord, I see that our time is up, and we're going to conclude this piece of literature. Do I offend you? Jesus asks you. And are you ashamed of me? We're going to conclude that tomorrow, so make sure that you tune in. Until then, this is Pastor, World Pastor Tony Alamo, stating, praise the Lord and God bless you. Amen.